Butter bei die Hühnen. Folge 41. Too Young for Naps. Mit Blake Gleason und Axel Larsen. Moin und herzlich willkommen zur Folge 41 unseres Butter bei die Hühnen Podcasts. Heute wieder im Avacon-Studio in Lüneburg. Ich freue mich, dass wir hier wieder veranstalten können, weil diesmal war es etwas kurzfristig. Und ich sage einfach mal Hallo auch zu unseren Zuhörer. Heute brauche ich nicht mal innen, sondern ZuhörerInnen, kann ich einfach so sagen. Wir haben hier 4 ZuhörerInnen heute dabei und ich freue mich auch, dass hier neben mir Björn Ole neben mir sitzt.
Hallo.
Und Shoutout gehen raus an Kajetan, der leider heute nicht fit ist. Wir nehmen heute auf am Tag nach dem Berlin-Champions-League-Spiel. Und wir haben 2 Gäste. Hört selber mal rein, dann könnt ihr schon rausgehen, wer es ist. Aber der Grund ist, warum wir heute in Englisch die ganzen Podcasts halten werden. Wir werden dann switchen. Hört doch mal, weil wir eben mit Englisch redenden hier zusammen sind und keiner Deutsch spricht. If you can make a short welcome.
In Danish?
Ja. Yeah.
Okay. Ja, velkommen til podcasten. I dag er jeg sammen med Blake. Blake Gleason. Og ja, jeg skal i gang. Vi skal snakke lidt. Snakke engelsk til gengæld. Ikke dansk.
Everyone has understood this, so play.
That was wild. My name is Blake Gleason. I'm happy to be here. Stoked to be on the podcast with you guys. Thanks for having both Axel and I. We're excited to be here, like I said, and excited to talk about some stuff. And thank you again, especially for the treats.
I did actually understand a bit from Axel.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm a podcaster, I understood. And snuggle or something else.
He speaks English.
It sounded like the same word over and over and over again to me. So I don't know what you were saying, but it was quite impressive.
Danish is like Norwegian, but less... distinct.
It's a bold statement.
Okay. Für alle Zuhörer, ZuhörerInnen nochmal, wir werden heute komplett in Englisch das Ganze durchführen, deswegen verabschieden wir uns jetzt aufs Englische. Wer heute da nicht so zuhören will, heute kommt leider kein deutscher Part mehr dahinter.
Das so muss auch mal sein.
We will switch. Yeah. Okay. We just make the podcast one day after the glorious game against Berlin in Champions League. How is your adrenaline now?
Well, I mean, not as high as yesterday. I was standing in the corner on the bench shaking half the time. But definitely still stoked after the game. A huge win, as my dad told me, the first time in 10 games that Lüneburg beats Berlin. So that's crazy. A crazy feeling being part of a team that can do such a thing, the first German team this league to be able to beat them.
Was your dad there yesterday?
Yeah, I got my dad there, my mom there.
Oh, your whole family?
The whole family showed up.
Perfect. Okay. Then tell them they should come every time, maybe then
they
win every time. Blake, what's your adrenaline?
Yeah, no, I think I couldn't fall asleep last night. I was just like laying in bed. Almost to like, 6 at 5 a.m. I just couldn't fall asleep. I was just still like wired from the game. But it's exciting. Like Axel said, first win in a while. My first personal win versus Berlin since being in the league period. My 3rd year in the league. So definitely means a lot. Just because I didn't want to finish playing volleyball and never have beat them. So one is great, but obviously definitely not satisfied. I think that kind of opens the floodgates a little bit to the fact of just like confidence going into the next match. Obviously nothing's a guarantee and it's going to be a battle, but kind of getting over that mental hump I think is huge for this group. So just being able to say like, okay, like we can do it, I think is huge. So I'm excited to see what happens next time and just the opportunity to get back after it.
Going to be a wild one in Berlin in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I hope they sell out. I don't know.
What was it, 10,000?
8,000.
8,000?
8,000, yeah. I will have some guys from Lüneburg there. I'll be there.
For sure, we will have one bus, which is driving to, and some small buses. Okay. And I would guess 150 or the, I would guess. Because it's in the middle of the week, it's a little bit tricky for some people like us. We have to talk
jobs. And
make some business. People have jobs.
Yeah, real jobs.
Shit.
Don't worry, I'm bringing some Danish people also.
Yeah.
Family's coming
for
again.
How many? Your family? Okay, that's good.
Three or four is coming.
Three or four coming? Okay, that's... Yeah, I read your father was asking for the ticket and for riding with the bus, with the fan bus. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good.
I love it when your guys' family comes over. And I mean, from Denmark, it's not that far, but I know your family has been here.
Yeah, my parents came last year for, I think, 3 or 4 weeks. They're coming again this year for same time, 3 or 4 weeks at the beginning of March. So I'm really excited to see them again, just have them in the area. So it'll be fun. Awesome.
During playoffs, maybe?
Yeah. End of regular season, like first couple weeks of playoffs.
Oh, perfect. Awesome.
So it'll be good to have them here. And like I said, it's always fun to have family in the area, especially for us being far away. I mean, you're not that far, so I don't want to hear it from this guy. But
second closest.
He's second closest probably. So. But yeah, it is super nice just because you don't see those faces very often with what we do.
Yeah, especially coming from overseas. It's like... It's quite the distance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, but it's worth if we are playing in the finals,
especially with a game like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You miss out on family stuff and holidays and birthdays, but I mean, so when you get to play in games like this or be a part of games like this and experiences like this, it definitely makes it worth it for sure.
Yeah, Michael also said it last time. It's in the end, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean,
you can't.
If your family comes over, mm-hmm. they get to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Even if they're overseas.
100%.
Xander's dad is watching all the games.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
Yeah. Number one fan.
Top. Yes.
And I love it. Is. Like, you have. It's a whole different time over there. Like, it should be a bit early. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on where you live, 6 to 8 hours behind.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so it's during the it's, at least it's not during the night.
Yeah,
no, that would be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be nice to have those people there, and I'm sure other people will also be coming as playoffs come. I know Michael. I think his parents are coming again, and I'm sure depending on the outcome of this next game with Berlin, I'm sure there's other people that will fly in for games because as the stakes get higher, it's like people want to be a part of that. So I totally get it.
It just gets more exciting from here.
For sure.
Absolutely. Looking back for yesterday, did you ever hear such loudness in this arena? Even if you compare with the game as against Arkas Izmir?
Yeah,
that's for you.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I think obviously it's hard to compare. That game was a year ago, so but I mean that I think it just depends on what you deem as loud, like the negative chance versus the positive ones. Like it definitely that was the most like heated, I would say, I've seen our fans or like reactive to a team or some players individually, but definitely exciting. I mean, I love when the crowd gets into it. I feel like I play better when I get a little chippy, every now and then in practice. I try and bring out the best in some people just because it gets me going a little bit. So I thought it was incredible. I love the atmosphere. I love when the fans get into it, and I hope that they also have like a good time because we thrive off them. It's like Lüneburg wouldn't be the place that it is without the fans, not even close. So it's really for them as much as it is for us.
Yeah, it was a great event. It was all the way a party. How did it impress it to you?
Well, for me, coming from Denmark, where volleyball is not that big. Like we would have maybe 50 people at games, at home games. I don't think I'll ever get used to the feeling of having 3,000 people sitting there chanting for you. And I mean, even though I'm not on the court as much, coming into serve there once in a while, having that backup when you get subbed in, walking down to your spot is incredible. It's something I'll probably never get used to, I think. But yeah, it's as Blake said, it's what keeps us going, even though we're not playing our best, even though that we're losing or whether we're winning or losing. having all those fans behind us cheering for us every single point we make is...
Isn't it very hard? Difference. Sorry.
No, it's just saying it's, that's what makes the difference. That's what helps us win this kind of game against Berlin.
Isn't it very hard for you when you have such a crowd hearing and then you are standing outside and then you go there and making a service? Is it...
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I mean, I've done it before in the Danish... It's not the same, of course, in the Danish league. But, I mean, at this point, I've gotten used to it. I mean, I've done it for basically every single game this season so far. So you kind of get used to the feeling of stepping in, maybe not fully in rhythm, knowing that you don't really have anything to lose. You come in, you just have to make a serve. But, I mean... hearing the other guys telling you what to do, walking in, Lohan's telling me you have to go here or here. Can't always tell what he's saying. So I'm sometimes I'm guessing, but yeah, it's you get used to it, kind of like blocking out the noise, just focusing on making the serve when you know that's your job, when you know that's what you have to do.
Yeah, but it's not normal. You can't say every time it's my job and
no, that's true.
I will say that is one of the hardest jobs, in my opinion, in volleyball. So I give kudos to you because you come in and absolutely bomb balls, and that is not something to do off the bench. So for those who don't play or haven't played, that is not an easy position to be in. So you've
done a pretty good job. Being substituted.
Yeah, just because, I mean, whenever you're coming off the bench, it's like, yeah, you're supposed to, you know, stay warm and stay active on the bench, but you're not jumping. Yeah. You're not, you know, it's like you have to keep your body warm and loose enough to go in and, you know, rip a serve. You know, especially if you're jump serving, so it's like,
so no pressure.
It's not a you know. And then of course you think about that as like your only job because it's you're only performing that one skill. So it's like, it's heavy weight mentally and physically. So, but he's been killing it. So,
did you feel pressured, Axel?
I mean, yesterday
it's like coming in for a serve. Like it's new for you to be in front of like 3,000 people.
The start of the season, I remember our first game against Düren. Of course, not at home. But there you have a lot of people cheering against you. That was kind of the first test I had in this league as a service sub. That was, but I mean, it went well. So I guess that was a good start for what's to come. But I mean, especially this game against Berlin, I remember in the fifth set, I go into serve for Lohans. I'm standing in the corner. I had game point. I'm just shaking. That's probably the most nervous I've been for a serve ever.
I think the whole arena was shaking.
Yeah, that was... At least I made it. But I've never been that nervous for any ball, a set, a serve, a pass, whatever, in any game in my life.
I think I would say that this right here was the most important game until now, the whole season.
I would argue in the club's history.
Yeah. Yeah, could sure. Be, yeah, yeah. We didn't get that far in Champions League last season.
I mean, if you just look at it on a piece of paper,
yeah,
I think there's no argument against that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, CV Finals is technically further along in that division, but it's playoffs, so like that game is technically worth more in my eyes. But
yeah, I think also the fact we're playing Berlin, even though it's Champions League, exactly. We have that's the chance to play Polish teams, Italian teams, French teams. Yeah. We get Berlin again, and we managed to win at home makes it very special.
I always like to say Berlin is like kryptonite for Lüneburg. It's hard, but it's possible, as you see.
Yeah. I mean, they should be, though. I mean, they have the resources. They have, you know, there's a reason why that is, right? So it's like, but doesn't mean it's impossible. So
I'd say that makes it even more impressive that you guys managed to do it.
Yeah. 100% agree with you.
Yeah. I think that's also what we said at the start of the season. First game we played against them in Berlin, after the game we're sitting in the locker room and we're saying they are beatable. Remember, that's one of the first things Theo said in the locker room after the game. They are beatable.
They are.
And that's yesterday shows that it's possible. Even though they are the biggest team, it's possible to.
Even they have bad days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that Berlin had a bad day.
No, that was didn't top-notch volleyball, but
they didn't play their best. Better. They didn't play their best, I would say. But it was a good game, even from Berlin, for sure.
Depends on the perspective. What you compare it to. If you compare it to Bundesliga, like, nothing gets close to that game. But
no.
Maybe comparing it to, like, other teams in Champions League, like, up there.
That's definitely, I would say, probably the best game of the Champions League so far.
Would you consider it one of your most special moments in your volleyball career until now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've, even before going here, seeing Berlin play, being like, that's a team that you don't beat often. Of course, it's more, you can say, more special for guys like Blake, the guys who've been here a couple years, Gage, Sander, Theo, of course, having lost to them a couple times already. But yeah, definitely special. And beating them in this way at home is, yeah, I can't really get that a lot of other places. That's a special feeling, even no matter how much you play during the game.
I'd even argue it was like a big relief for many of the fans as well, because I'd say most of them have been here for a couple of seasons. So they have seen all the losses against Berlin, and seeing that makes it all the more special.
Yeah. Before the game, I was talking to some of the guys, and I was like, I am 0-11 versus Berlin in my 3 years in Bundesliga. So I was like, I would really enjoy to change that. So it was nice to finally get one in the left-hand column.
You made it happen, so.
Yeah, better late than never, right?
Yes, sir.
And we got a couple more tries. We got at least one more Champions League, and then
One more Bundesliga.
And then we'll see what happens. Hopefully. Can only hope.
No pressure.
I think you guys can double down or even triple down on it.
That's the plan. It would be nice.
That's what we're hoping for. Yeah.
I mean, you got the confidence now, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
it was a big boost.
Yeah, like I said, like I think it's like that mental hump, right? Like, once you do it once, you're like, okay, like, we can hang. And it's like, obviously, like, they haven't been beaten in the league yet. So it's like, that's going to be in the back of their head as well. It's like, you know, obviously they're an incredible team, but it's like, it's volleyball. It's like, anybody can win, no matter who it is. I truly believe that. So you gotta come to play each game and let the cards fall how they fall.
Look at last season. Dachau did it.
Exactly.
So yeah, anything can happen.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
Especially this season. I mean, technically even Freiburg could do it.
Yeah.
The way they played this season so far.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. Playing them in Lüneburg is something, but playing them in Berlin is that's a
tough,
different kind of challenge.
I'd say the vibe in Lüneburg is way better.
For sure.
I like the arena in Berlin, but it's not the same.
I agree. Better. That's why when I'm talking to people who've been in Lüneburg, watching games, family, friends, we're saying that's the best arena in the league.
It is, yeah.
It's a little bit more dense, I would say.
Yeah, it's all a bit closer. Like in Berlin, sometimes you're very far away from the court, especially if you're not sitting in first row. Even if you're sitting in first row, it's like way back from the court. But I'd say Max Schmelinghal is better for taking photos because the stands are dark.
That's a fair point.
This is most irrelevant for me, but
this is a very high level, I would say. The best arenas in Germany is the Max Schmelinghalle and LKH Arena, and then the others.
Depends on what you take into account. What criteria? Okay.
Let's talk about the time before SVG, or SVG, you would say.
We say SVG, yeah.
I ask best young player of the season in Danish league, first league of last year.
Yeah.
So, what was, I think you played volleyball since you were seven, is it?
Seven, right? Yeah. Started when I was seven with my brother. Family thing, so thanks to my dad.
And he's also playing?
He's still playing, yeah.
Okay.
He's still playing, and brother and sister's playing also. Grandparents played, my mother played, so.
Great.
Well, I mean, definitely last season compared to this, playing in Denmark, being the best young player in the league, definitely a big difference. I think I looked at the numbers I think I got, overall during the season, I got around 1,500 sets in a season. Mm-hmm. So, and now I'm a service sub. So I would say that's something you have to get used to. Being a player on a team, you get 50 sets per game. And then coming here and, you know, you have to prove yourself. You have to get better every single day. Of course, I still had to do that at home, but it's a whole different feeling stepping into a game, knowing then that, no, I had to carry the load, you know, be the player to make the points, make the big plays. And now I'm doing my best on the bench to bring the energy, to support the guys on court. And when I get the chance to get on, whether it's serving or whatever it could be, I do my best to, just tell myself I have nothing to lose. It's just take the chance, see what happens. Yeah. But it's definitely a difference from the Danish league, I would say. But I was prepared. I knew that's the role I had, so I don't mind it at all. I love being here. Love playing for this team, practicing with these guys every single day, having Blake at practice, yelling at us, yelling at whoever it is, doesn't matter, whatever happens. But yeah, it's an amazing feeling, even though it's a way different role. Amazing feeling being able to actually play at such a high level.
How would you compare the Danish league to the German league? For those who have no clue how the Danish league is playing.
Level-wise?
Yeah, like how does it compare?
I would say it's very different. Probably the best teams in Denmark could keep up with maybe a team like Dachau or lower than that.
Lower end of the German league.
So it's the level difference is huge. Can't really compare like a team like for us playing against the best team in Denmark, we would destroyed and playing with our bad hand almost. It's
I think in Denmark or especially Scandinavia, handball is a bit more of a thing.
Yeah, that's handball and football, that's the prized possession.
I remember my parents grew up in Flensburg and big handball fans, and the whole team was Danish, so
yeah, there's a lot of Danish guys playing
kind of proved the point.
But we'll take it. At least that's one sport where we can beat Germany.
Absolutely.
That's
and us.
And yeah, the US, we
never
played
handball.
We don't talk about the US in handball. That.
It's not a thing in the US, is it?
No.
I don't think so. I mean, in growing up in the States, you play a lot of different sports in gym class or PE, but handball was never one of them. So I'm sure maybe some areas, but generally, no.
No.
You guys have other sports that are not played here.
Yeah.
Plenty of.
And now the question to the older ones, Blake. The time before SVG, you were already in the first Bundesliga with Königs Wusterhausen, mm-hmm. I remember. And after Königs Wusterhausen, you went to?
That period for me was really interesting, honestly, because I played a pretty good season in Netzhoppers, statistically. I had a really good connection with their setter there, and played really well. And then I made a couple switches with like representation, so like agents. Thought I could, you know, move up to a better team, and ended up with some offers, but nothing that I thought was worth continuing playing, I guess, for. Because obviously you have to look at it from like a financial standpoint and like a opportunity standpoint, because you're giving up a lot to play. You know, it's like you're missing, like I said before, like family time and, you know, a job or a career, which you can obviously always go to. But I was seeing how the opportunities were, and I ended up actually not playing that year. Like I took a gap year almost, and I went home and I worked. I volunteered for a program in Chicago, a girls program, and I was just doing lessons and stuff. And then there were a couple opportunities, one in Spain, one in France, that fell through. And then I ended up was like, you know, if I want to keep this so in quote dream alive, I'm just going to go anywhere to get like film for whatever amount of time. So I ended up going to Sweden for one of the bottom, like the lowest team that needed a player because they were going to get relegated. And they're basically just trying to not get relegated. So like I went there for 6 weeks. And then when I was there, Stefan actually messaged me through WhatsApp. And if it wasn't for that message, I would be at home doing something else right now. So it's crazy how life pans out, because if it wasn't for him messaging, I would not be playing volleyball today. Because I was kind of at the point in my career where I was like, all right, I just played what I consider to be one of my best seasons, or if not my best season in Netshoppers statistically, led the league in a category. And it's just like, I was like, I'm over it. So I was like, he really did me a favor and by reaching out, because it's been incredible ever since. And it's crazy to think about, if that never happened, I wouldn't have had these incredible experiences with all these guys and in this place. So I'm very, very lucky, very fortunate.
Stefan had the contact for the first time with you?
Well, when I was in Netshoppers, I obviously knew, you know, Americans were at SVG, because I knew Joe. I played with Jordan Ewart a couple times in some USA volleyball stuff when we were younger. But the contracts where they had players coming back. So they weren't looking for like to fill middle positions or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my agent at the time was like, yeah, the guys who were here were staying. So it wasn't any opportunity to come here. And then I was looking at contracts in other countries, and I was just like, these are more like horizontal moves versus like a vertical move. And like I told myself from when I started playing, I would only continue playing if I was able to make a step this way each year. So I got to that point where I was like, all right, well, I'm not making that step this way. Then if nothing comes up, I'm gonna call it. So Stefan was like, messaged me. I was like, I will come tomorrow, because I was like, I know I've been, obviously the first year I played Netshoppers was the first year of this new gym. And it was actually still under construction when I first played in it. And I was like, this place is incredible. Like, the city's awesome. I would love to play here. So it was awesome. It was just worked out.
What season was that?
That was COVID year. So it's got to be 2019, 2020, somewhere in there. 2020, 2021.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be around
2022,
that time.
2021, 22, somewhere in there. It was in that span.
That was one of the seasons I didn't watch volleyball.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't even allowed to have fans that year when we were at Netshoppers for like half the year. It was like after the first season of COVID, where like stuff started to hit the fan and all the rules came out. So it was kind of like half and half with if people could come to the games and not. It was a weird time.
But at that time, Koenigs 2000 had a really good team.
Yeah, I mean, a really good team is relative, but yeah, for that team, they had, in my opinion, they had one of the best teams that I know of to date. I mean, we had some really good guys. I don't know, even know what we ended up finishing. We made playoffs, but it wasn't anything crazy. We lost to Dern in the first round, but we had some solid talent on that team for sure. Guys who are still playing today in different countries on better leagues. So, yeah.
Okay. So in this podcast, we also want to know what kind of person is playing for the SVG. So we are interested in what you are. But can you describe, Axel, which person you are, what you are interested in? How would you describe yourself?
How I would describe myself? Oof.
Speaking off court, because most of the people know you guys
during
the games, but what about away from the games?
Well, I mean, I try to be, I mean, I've always been a very happy guy. Always been smiling a lot. That's what I try to do on court as well. So I guess doesn't change much on and off court. Try to smile as much, maybe not as loud off court. more of a, you know, just like spending time just winding down, watching a show, reading a book, whatever. Just, yeah, go for walks. It's not too exciting. Of course, in this kind of lifestyle, it's, you don't have a lot of energy for it. But yeah, generally, it's just a happy guy who just enjoys the small things.
Taking it slow.
Taking it slow, enjoying the small things, enjoying family time. That's why I'm very happy that I have the chance to have family here so often. My dad basically coming for every single game we play here in Lüneburg. Enjoying family time a lot, always done. Having a tight bond with both my sister and brother. And yeah, and I think that's one of the most important things for me, family. Spending time with them, actually talking to them about other things than just family things. But yeah, not too much to say about who I am. It's just a bit less loud version of what I am in games, and just
yeah, got it.
Yeah, just a happy guy.
Sounds good. Could you describe yourself, Blake?
Yeah, I would just say that I try and just live life in the moment, as cliche as it sounds, because I think that when you get experiences like this, it's like you never know when they're going to end. So just like being around this group of guys this year has been incredible, and trying soaking it all up. It's crazy that we're already, you know, over halfway done. A couple more weeks, we're going to be in playoffs. It's like this season flew by way faster, for me at least, personally, than last season. I mean, it's just been incredible. Off the court, I've never had a closer group of guys overseas than this year, I would say. I think all of the guys get along really well, would you say? I mean, in my opinion, it's like it doesn't get any better. I think that helps with the team chemistry, and that just attributes to, you know, the off the court stuff. You know, it's like to Axel's point, it's like, yeah, off the court, it's like that's who I am off the court, no different than who I am on, especially in practice. I try and give the guys a hard time, try and you know, make jokes and keep things light while always, you know, also keeping the passion and love for the game alive as best as I can. Obviously, everyone always has bad days and good days, but at the end of the day, we're pretty lucky. We get to play a sport for a living, so life can't be too bad. So I always try and, you know, it's easier said than done some days, but I always try and, you know, be that person off or on the court that that keeps that perspective, I would say, is my biggest thing for myself and other people, just to be thankful for the opportunities and the experiences we get to have.
Yeah, I'd support that. I've known you for 2 years now, yeah. I'd say. Yeah, the second year. It goes by, you said it. Like, when we had Gage on, it was like 3 years I've known him. I was like, wow, 3 years already? Damn. Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, it's like, this is a special place. I know it's not necessarily the question, but I don't think people really understand how wonderful this place is in the city, and what the fans do for this program or this club is doesn't happen often. It's pretty unique, so it's pretty cool spot.
Yeah, so growing up here, I think you don't really appreciate it that much, how beautiful of a city Lüneburg is.
Yeah, I think people take it for granted. That's one thing I tell the guys too, especially the guys first year. It's like I played a bunch of other places before this. It's like I'm the old guy of the group, so it's like I try and you know, provide that sense of perspective sometimes when guys make comments here and there, because they don't really know, but it's pretty cool.
Now, I mean, you've had your fair share of stops.
Yeah,
compared to Axel and Simon.
For
sure. Yeah, even exactly. Simon, like, he's been overseas, but first pro season now.
100%.
And yeah, 100%. I've heard from most of them, they love Lüneburg, mm-hmm. and their families as well. How did your family like it here?
They loved it. Like I said, they're coming back I mean, my parents are retired, so a little bit easier for them to drop everything and come to a foreign country for 4 to 5 weeks. But no, they loved it. They came over my first year in Finland right before COVID. But no, they love this place. That's why they're coming back. So excited to have them here. Hopefully it gets nicer and maybe not snowing out. So.
I hope so.
I mean, the problem is you always see Lüneburg when the weather is like this.
They came in January last time.
It's not the very nicest season here. If you come here to spring and summer, it's just another city,
100%.
I would say. Because you can sit down and relax in the city. It's, mm-hmm. it's nice. And people are, if sun is shining, are always shining.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is a very different vibe in the summer.
For sure. That first couple months when we get here are like my favorite months. And then like the last 2 months are like my favorite months. Weather-wise, it's just completely different.
I do get here around the end of summer.
Mm-hmm. August.
Yeah, around then.
It's like August, October is usually pretty good.
So you get a bit of summer.
Yeah.
The last days. What about your family, Axel? Did they like it here?
They love it. I mean, they keep coming back. No, they love it here. They always come here a couple hours before the game just to walk around in town, spend some time. So they really enjoy it. And you know, my daddy wants to show, he always takes pictures and shows it off to our other family members who don't get here as often. No, they like the city. They like, of course, the arena, the fans. They love the energy we have around the team because you don't get that in Denmark. So having a chance to see that is, yeah, it's crazy because it's just so different. Of course, weather-wise and stuff like that, it's not too different from Denmark. We always also have snow in February and April, but yeah, they like it. They're really happy for me that I get to be in a place like this. Not only the city and the people here, but also just the team and the fans, the way everyone is a kind of a family, not only with the team, as Blake said, the like everyone on the team, as we've talked about with the guys, everyone gets along. We have a good, very good chemistry on the team. Of course, being a young team, it kind of just happens. Blake being the old guy is crazy because he's not old.
Grandpa Blake.
But yeah, we have a great chemistry, and my family's just really happy that I get that kind of experience as my first pro season. And that's what I'm happy with as well, being in a place where I feel that comfortable for my first year, not missing home too much. Of course, I miss home. I want to go back once in a while, but being in a place where you can be happy all the time with where you are, even being away from family and friends, is that's very important.
It says a lot about the team. And yeah. I think we've asked every one of the players this season, and you're all saying it's a very good chemistry right now. And that's what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
I mean, it's usually like, maybe he hasn't experienced this quite yet because he's only played a couple of years, but you know, you'll go on teams with people from all over the place, you know, a wide variety of countries, nationalities, you know, backgrounds. So it's like you put all those people together, it's like it's normal to have, you know, either cliques or groups of people that prefer ones or the others or whatever, and that's normal and that's fine. Obviously you can still work together on the court, but definitely I'd say from, you know, top to bottom, it's like there's not a single guy on the roster that I think doesn't get along with anybody, which is really impressive. Usually doesn't happen.
That you can't expect it, of course.
Yeah, usually there's always a couple that, you know, butt heads here and there, but it's really, really good. So I think that attributes to the chemistry and whatnot.
Yeah, and I think, of course, also the fans see it at games. At least that's what I try to do on the bench. Just being loud and express myself on the bench to kind of help the guys on court and show the fans that we actually care. But it's not that different in practice. We do the same in practice. When we make a block on someone, when Blake blocks someone, goes crazy, tells the guy, like, just starts yelling at us. And I think that helps us in games because we have that energy most of the time. Of course, we have practices where we have a bit lower level and energy is not that high, but in general the practice and game energy is the same. That's what we try to, you know, work on,
carried over
to the game, and you know, really just make that our playing style, being loud, being not arrogant, but being that team that, you know, kind of gets in the other team's head, being that young team that just keeps fighting. Yeah. As Stefan says often, being a hard team to play against, that not only in making the actual contacts, making the defense, but being loud and being a team that, you know, they
being
always
present,
have energy. Being in the moment, just showing that even though we're not winning all the points, we're there. We're gonna scream at you the whole time.
Especially this season, like the support coming from you on the corner, it's way more than the last seasons. It wasn't bad the last seasons, but it's way more now. Like, I think Blake can confirm it.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree.
Like most of the fans, they notice it.
Yeah, I mean, you see body language on the court. You see body language on the bench, right? So that stuff I think is easy to pick up on. So it's I agree with you.
Yeah, I think that's what we try to do as much as possible on the bench when we're allowed to step out and walk a bit in front, of course.
Yeah, yesterday was crazy.
When we're actually allowed
they were having
to
a fit yesterday.
When we're allowed to, you know, go crazy, then we show it as much as possible.
But yeah, even a little square where you can
think
stand.
The refs would be more concerned with the game that's going on right in front of them, but it appeared that they were more worried about whether our toes were on the
plate.
Teal mat.
Yeah, they watch out for that.
They were,
they
were on
every,
it yesterday.
Every single point they were looking at us.
Yeah,
it was crazy. But
always
I mean, we
one
still
eye
had,
on you guys.
We still had a lot of fun. We always have fun on the bench. We try to make it. And for me personally, that also helped me stay warm, stay ready, because I don't want to stand with a band the whole time doing exercises that doesn't really help a lot for me. But being no, helping the team, celebrating every point, having a fun time with the other guys on the bench. That is, for me, something that helps a lot with getting ready in case I have to go in. So I think that works for me. That's why I do it a lot. Of course, helping the guys on court, but it's a good warm-up for anyone who wants to try. It's just be loud, just jump around.
This, and from what I've heard from Neo, you also observe a bit, but like you look at your opposite on the court, and like in the timeouts you talk to them, like watch out for this, do that. Is it the same with you?
Yeah, I mean, if someone, you know, if someone comes off and they, you know, same if when I'm on or when I'm off, it's like I appreciate that feedback, right? Sometimes when you're in it, you may not always see it from the same perspective as someone who's watching from outside, so I think that's another aspect of the team that's pretty nice, is like I think everybody has pretty good intentions with that type of stuff, whether they're playing or not, you know, because, you know, it always changes, so it's good to have those type of people around, you know, just to give you that feedback if you need it here and there, for sure.
It's like a second pair of eyes.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely.
Doesn't I think hurt. That's also something we talk about a lot on the bench. Of course, we want the guys to just play freely, but we always talk, me, Blake, Neo, Cole, whoever it is on the bench, talk about what's going on, what could maybe be a good idea to change in case there's something to change. And then we talk with the guys on court if it makes sense, if they don't change, and then give constructive feedback on what we see. Because in the moment, being on court, we've all been there. You don't always make the perfect decision. Kind of get caught in the moment, then something happens that maybe shouldn't have happened. And us guys on the bench, we have the full view. We can see every single player at the same time. We kind of, we can help in every aspect of the game.
Okay, so you had the plan yesterday that Blake has to play in the game, because you were talking about when you are on the bench that yesterday you came in the you didn't start.
Yeah,
and then you changed.
Oh yeah,
so you talked already together on the bench about it, or was
I think
it
it's more
coach?
Based. I think it's more based on position. I think is typically what I mean. If we have, you know, if something's happening in our position group that, you know, hey, like this guy's hitting a one, or hey, this guy's, you know, jumping and swinging away, or you know, he's leaving, he's, you know, stuff like that, little feedback here and there. I mean, no, the coach didn't say anything yesterday. Just he goes, you're in the fifth set. You're playing. So go. obviously, yeah, if you ask for feedback, they're going to give you it. But in terms of up at that point, we were just talking about, you know, I was talking to the bench about what, you know, the other side was doing in terms of like, hey, like this situation, maybe commit. This guy's been hitting to one the last six balls. Like, we got to stop him to one. If he's going to get set, if you're going to commit, like, make sure you go to one. Stuff like that. But, it just depends.
Okay. You talked about you as a person, what kind of person you are. We didn't talk about how you are satisfied with your performance in the games or during... whilst you are playing here at the SVG, how you are satisfied with your performance? Or maybe Blake?
How I'm satisfied with my performance?
With your performance,
am I satisfied with my performance?
Do you have... Yeah, with your performance, not the team.
Yeah.
Not yesterday, for the whole list, for the whole time.
I would say no, because I feel like I'm pretty hard on myself. So I would say there are aspects that I am still trying to get out of myself, I would say, or I guess the system that we run, that I haven't yet seen full, what's the word? Full recollection of, maybe full, like I haven't seen it come to fruition, I guess would be the word. So that, I definitely think that there's more I can give personally, to the team in that area. If that opportunity presents itself on the floor. But there are obviously moments, you know, it's like any job, right? Like there are moments or games where you play really well and you feel like it's connecting or you're doing something correct. And there are days where, you know, hey, maybe something's not clicking, right? So it's how do you navigate those highs and lows to try and maintain a more smaller dips or steady, you know, progression. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like volleyballs. It's like everybody that plays at the top level, it's like they all can do XYZ skill, right? It's just how consistent can you do it over time? Can you make those small dips be even smaller? Yeah. You know, and that's the difference. You know, in volleyball games, you see it. It's like, you know, 1 3-point run in the beginning, 1 5-point run in the beginning. Sometimes is the difference between the set. It's like, and that's just one little run. You know, but that's just the game. So, no, I would say no, but I'm usually never satisfied. So. I would like to see a little bit more return on my personal performances at times to be able to give the team more. And I'm looking forward to that opportunity because we still got some season left. So that's what I would say about me personally.
Okay. And for you, Axel?
Well, I've not been here as long as Blake, for sure. And it being my first pro season, my goal is, what I said to myself before coming here, is learn a lot, get better every single practice, every single game. Just improve in both my, you know, mentality, my playing, every single skill that you need to master in the game. So for me, it's not, of course, you think about it whenever I get the chance to play serving or if I get the chance to, you know, play rotations. I think about how I play, but for me, it's more important the smaller skills, you know, just improving in the small details as much as I can, be the best player I can. And, you know, of course, as Blake, I think every single athlete, not only in volleyball, being a critic of your own playing is very common. I think everyone is, you know, getting angry if something's not going well, or, you know, telling yourself not necessarily good enough if you're not playing at the standard that you want to. I do it a lot. I've done it a lot. I think I've gotten better at it, but definitely still something that you can, for me, that I can work on. I would say serving substitution wise, because I kind of have that role, I would say I'm somewhat satisfied. In some games, I'm more satisfied than others. I mean, my first test against Duen, that was a great start because, you know, I came in as a serving sub. I made 9 serves and it was 5 sets, but made 9 serves as a serving sub. I would say that's pretty good. Other games is not going as well, but overall, I would say I'm satisfied. It's a hard job, as Blake says. That's what I've been being told every time. It's a hard job, we know. There's no expectations. You go and you just have to go for it, really. And of course, I have good support in that, in those situations. Every time I come in, when Tay was playing, of course, he was sick. He was sick yesterday. But kind of have this small ritual whenever I come in and he's back row. He's always waiting there, smiling at me, giving me a hug, giving me that reassurance that just go for it. Doesn't matter. No one's going to care if you miss. No, if you make an ace, great. Just go for it. That helps a lot. But, you know, getting that reassurance, not only from Theo, from coach, from all the other guys, from the fans, all the cheers, that helps a lot. And that also, you know, may not playing a lot in other situations makes me more satisfied, because, you know, you're being part of it. You're part of the team in that way. And that's a good feeling. When it comes to other situations, I mean, just the whole, I mean, I've done a switch recently to outside instead of opposite. You know, me and Cole made that switch. Now he's injured, of course, but so now I'm going to be playing outside and Cole is going to be playing opposite.
Why? Can you explain why?
Just talking a lot with Stefan, thinking that would be a better fit for not only me, not necessarily the team in general, but more just for me and Cole, and just for us as players, for future career, just the whole playing style you have in those positions. Probably, I would say, for me personally, playing outside, I like that better.
Really?
That's what I used to do. It's just a bit over a year since I switched to opposite. I switched last Christmas to opposite back home. So I played it for a year. But just passing and playing defense in six, and that whole being an outside, having more responsibility, is, I like that a lot better. So far, playing in games and stuff, haven't been playing too great the times I've got the chance. So maybe not too satisfied with the whole improving, but I would say it's getting better, and I like the situation that I'm in personally right now with that position switch.
So you're happy for now with the switch?
Yeah, I would rather play outside. I like that position a lot better because you're just more part of the game. As an opposite, your job is to serve hard, hit the ball hard, block the ball. It's not the whole passing. I would say passing is probably my favorite part of the game. Just being in a passing lineup, receiving hard serves, having Blake yell at me when he makes an ace or make a bad pass in practice. That's the best part of the game.
So it's probably the other way around with Cole as well. Like, did he want to switch to opposite? Do you know that?
I haven't really talked to him, but I think he's played opposite before in college, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he played opposite for UCLA. In college,
but I'm not entirely sure on that one.
I think he played opposite for UCLA for some time.
Okay. I mean, Xander did the same thing, coming from middle to
opposite. I think looking...
That's pretty common, though. I mean, like, you said you started playing volleyball at 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, I started playing volleyball at 17. So, guys find the sport, especially in the States, way later, typically. So I feel like it's normal to, you know, not be locked into a position all the time.
Yeah. And I would say, looking at the, like, just overall, not focusing on me as a player or Cole necessarily as a player, overall I think we both feel more comfortable in those positions. I feel like, for me at least, it comes more naturally playing as an outside. It just feels more, I feel more loose playing, feel more free playing as an outside than as an opposite. Of course, it comes with practice. I played outside almost all the time since I was 7, so, you know, passing balls and playing that a lot of defense in six is what I've done for a long time. So it just feels more natural for me. And I would guess, without knowing, not having talked to him, I feel like that could be more natural for Cole also, being in that opposite situation.
I'd say he can learn something from his brother.
That's true, yeah.
It's funny, the two brothers as opposite. Okay.
Does happen.
Yo, do you have some questions?
You asked my question. I wanted to say.
Oh, sorry. Like,
you're good. It's about how that whole switch came to pass. But yeah, we answered that already.
Okay. Maybe we just talked about Lüneburg and the city of Lüneburg. What are you doing when you don't play here? What are you doing in Lüneburg or in Hamburg or something else?
I've been to Hamburg once, but I think for most of the guys,
well, he just got his license, so that's probably why.
That's true. Yeah,
it's a train.
Bit easier with the car. But I would say for me at least, I think the same for a lot of the other guys. A lot of the free time is spent at home, because you're exhausted, especially the days where we have double practice. You're not gonna have the energy necessarily in between practice to go into town, go to Hamburg, whatever. So a lot of hours during the day is spent just relaxing at home. For me, watching a show, making some food. I love the older guys. They sleep. They take a nap. I know. I don't. I'm not old enough to take naps yet. My body doesn't work that way, but maybe that'll come at some point. But yeah, just being at home, relaxing in those hours we have outside of practice, is just, you have to enjoy them, because there's a lot of hours over the years. For Blake, he's had more of them, but that's what you have to realize when you play pro. It's not all just practice. There's way more free time than you would expect. And that's the hardest part of it. Thinking about what to do in those hours, finding a rhythm in your day to not get bored, to not, you know, put yourself in a hole and just, you show up for practice, but you're knowing that when you're done with practice, you go back home, then you're just sitting there in a,
do nothing.
A slump again.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges for, and it's like, it's a challenge, but it's not a challenge. Obviously, there are people who work like 9-to-5 jobs that like you're at somewhere like for strict, like straightly for whenever, from when you get there to leave. And that's obviously a challenge in itself, for sure. But obviously, like to his point, it's like, yeah, you, like the double days or whatever, it's like, but it's, I mean, it's a privilege. So it's like, it's awesome, but yeah, it's also super tiring. I'm obviously 10 years older than Axel, so I actually have a remote job that I do in my free time. So I'm not only taking naps, I'm also working.
What's your job?
I work for I'm a sales rep for an apparel company. So basically like jerseys, uniforms, sweatshirts, joggers, socks, for a bunch of different sports back in the United States. So I do that, and that occupies my time a decent amount in my free time, and also helps, you know, supplement extra income and kind of gives me something to go into when I'm done full time. So that's kind of nice. So it's not like I'm just doing it, you know, for fun. It's nice to have something like once you're done playing, okay, like I can do this and have like an easy like walk right into a job, which is nice. I actually know a lot of players that do that, even ones at, you know, I know even Matt Kennedy last year. I mean, he does remote work for a company too, that even now playing Berlin still. So to my knowledge, if that hasn't changed. So I don't think that's necessarily uncommon, because we do have a lot of downtime. And sometimes you can go a little crazy, especially when you're in a foreign country. Like you're just like, what am I doing here? Just sitting in a room, like waiting for practice, you know? Cause it's like, if you don't fill that time, it's like that time can get really long, really lonely. And obviously, like, you have super high highs, like, playing games like this. But then, you know, you could sit in a room for your, you know, in between practice for a couple hours and be like, all right. So, you know what I mean? So
what
it just
now?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that's a true reality of it to some degree. So being productive with that time, I think, is super important. And, you know, Axel might get to that point at some point, but he's 17, so he's living it up right now. But, yeah, I just think, you know, taking care of your stuff and being productive is beneficial. But obviously when your body needs rest or whatever, it's like, yeah, guys definitely take naps or you know, kind of just like lay around in between, because it's like, you are like kind of beat tired sometimes. So it's just like, all right, I'm going to take these next couple hours and do nothing. But, yeah, I think it just depends on the guy and what their able or capable of handling for that off time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So like with time you find your ways to pass time
and use it to your advantage and not just, you know, throw it all away, right? Hopefully.
Because yeah, like doing nothing away from practice like gets like the highs you talked about,
yeah,
it gets to a real low.
And exactly. Like, I mean, he's only been out here for his first year. But it's like, if you don't have that stuff to do in that free time, in that downtime, because it's like, you know, think about normally you go to work 8 to 5, 9 to 5, you know, you come home and you have all that free time, you know, at once, you know, to cook dinner or see family, see friends, whatever. And like, everybody's kind of off at the same time.
Go watch volleyball.
Exactly. For us, it's like the complete opposite. Like, we'll, you know, 3 hours here and then 4 hours here, or 4 hours here, then 3 hours here, with like a gap of 3 or 4 hours in between. So it's like the time back and forth, traveling. And then like, you know, you've got weird segments of the day where you have like little breaks. So it's like, just like being smart with that time and using it when you need it correctly, not just, you know, throwing it away.
Takes a bit more time management skills, I'd say.
I would say, yeah, because like it you have to, you don't know when that time's going to come, because every day is a little different almost. It's not like set in stone, because, you know, gym time, or, you know, when they can get, you know, the bus or the hotel really, or lunch or whatever. So like, just making sure you take you make use of it when you have it, I guess, because, you know, if you don't, it just, I think, tends to bite you in the butt later on when you get older.
When Axel still has time.
Yeah, plenty of time. He can be a little bit more wasteful with his time right now.
Like, speaking game day, like yesterday, I know Gage does have a little ritual of cleaning his flat before going to game. Yeah, I visited him once before the away game, and he was like in the process of cleaning his whole place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any like rituals before the game?
I do not. I usually go get a cappuccino and a French brochen, if I said that correctly.
French brochen.
Yeah.
Michael does as well.
I absolutely, that's one thing. Oof. Can't go without it. And then I'll just like sit on my laptop and like work stuff for a couple hours and then just go to the game. So nothing crazy. It's like, not really a ritual.
Normal day before the game.
I'm not I'm not cleaning my room or anything like that.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that I have anything I do specifically on game days. I think I kind of do the same thing every day, eating the same breakfast. Of course, lunch and dinner can change, but always having the same breakfast is something that I do. Kind of gets my day started, knowing what kind of energy I get. But no, I wouldn't say I have a ritual that I do in between morning practice and game I have to do, or else the roof is gonna fall down or something crazy. I know some players are superstitious in that way. They just have to do something or else they can't play. But no, I don't, I'm like Blake. I just do what I feel like, what feels good on the day.
Go about your day, yeah.
I mean, always in the locker room before a game, I just sit there. I always try to show up half an hour before the game, just sit there, just by myself, turning off my brain, not thinking about anything really. But other than that, not.
Maybe get a speech from Gage.
He hasn't actually done that. I'm waiting for it.
Was it Michael? I think Michael told us about it.
I heard about the Gage speeches, but
he doesn't do it anymore.
He doesn't do it anymore.
We talked about it with Gage. Gage.
For the first time, Stefan told us a little bit of the speeches of Gage, but
we had to ask him about it.
I'm honestly like, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, he told me he did it like a lot last year. Or no, sorry, 2 years ago, when Jordan and his brother were here. And I don't blame him. I feel like that would be a lot of pressure to give a speech every game. So especially and have it be like slightly different or a different message. It's like, that's not a easy thing to do. So I don't blame him for why he does not want to do that anymore.
Maybe that energy now goes into making the out-of-system content. That definitely goes wild sometimes.
Definitely, yes.
I mean, the videos nowadays are... I can't keep up anymore.
It's a lot.
Every practice, you're Blake or Gage saying you want to make a video, and then they post it, and you never know what to expect.
I've seen some of those. Like, I just watched them late in the evening, and I watched them back 10 times and couldn't stop laughing because they were so unexpected. So keep it up, guys.
That's all Gage, man. He does an incredible job with that stuff. He's
Gage and Neo told us you three.
Yeah, I mean, we help, but I mean,
masterminds behind
it. Yeah, no, I mean, we help, but Gage thinks a lot. I'd say 99% of the video ideas, and you know, I'm a yes man. So if he needs somebody to help him out, I'm gonna enjoy the experience and have some laughs and do it with him. Life's too short, man. Got to enjoy it while you're here.
Hit him on the head with a train.
Exactly.
It's always great to see these jokes he makes, even on the court. Yeah. I would say
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any further questions? I have from my list here. I think most of the things I have. Maybe yes. One thing with a different top three. What do you think?
I think we had the top volleyball moment now.
Okay.
Like the game yesterday. Do you have any other of your favorite moments from your volleyball career?
I definitely do. I mean, I obviously like the Arcus game for sure, was definitely one. I would say yesterday was another one, and then I was on a college team that won two national championships. So, yeah, that was my teammate Michael Wright did not win any national championships. So let's just put that out there.
You graduated when he came, right?
Yeah,
you didn't play together.
Yeah, no, we didn't play together.
Yeah.
I graduated in 2019 and he came in 2019.
Yeah,
or 2020. Yeah. So, yeah, he's a good guy though. But I always let him know about that just because I have to because he's my roommate. But I would say that either one of those games would definitely be a top moment for me for sure. Just because, it's shocking, but in the States that one of those games we actually played in front of 10,000 people. So that actually to this day is still the most people I've ever played in front of. Maybe not Sunday. Or next Berlin game, if they actually sell out, there's like 8,000 to 9,000 people.
Gets close,
but yeah, that would have to be one of my top. Those three were definitely my top.
I mean, my top things are not nearly as big as what we have here. I think definitely yesterday's game is up there. Playing my first national team summer is also huge. I remember we had a game in Turkey. In front of 7,000 people and playing against a Turkish team that is at the moment pretty good. Taking a set from them in that game was also a huge moment. And then I have to say the time I won the Danish national championship. I think I was maybe 13. So not near before Blake even started playing almost. but yeah, that has to be up there. Can't. It's not as big, but that's just a wholesome moment in my career. Winning that national championships in Denmark. Being not close to being the favorite team. That's just always going to be in my heart.
So you were like the underdog and still won.
Absolutely, yeah. We were, I think we had an average height of maybe 175, and the other teams all had players above 190, and we were just, we had me and another guy who was also left-handed as middles, and two lefty middles. I didn't get set, I was just there. I was taking up the spot because we had no one else. I was maybe 160 at that point, so it was, no one expected it, but somehow it worked, so that was... That was a lot of fun.
Makes it more special, I'd say.
I mean, we played against a team that everyone said before the tournament that they would win. So that's, and then we beat them twice in the tournament, both in group and finals. So that was crazy. Not nearly as crazy as yesterday, but
let's we'll see take what it. Happens we'll in 2 weeks. It. We're looking forward to it. Yeah.
We're looking forward to the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Winning the game. Winning the finals.
No, we have prepared. We can only hope.
We're confident.
We have a small game, not a quiz, only a small game. At first, we want to know from you, what do you want to drink? What's your favorite drink? So for your present.
Favorite drink?
Favorite drink, yeah.
It doesn't have to be drink, like Gage chose Bratwurst.
Of course he did.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we also had chocolate or...
Anything goes. Michael,
maybe not everything.
Bourbon pick.
Bourbon.
Bourbon? Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say rum.
Rum.
Yeah, I'm going to say...
Any particular one?
I would say like Bacardi or Havana. Rum would probably be my top.
So stop, not too fast. I have to write down.
Oh, but guys, just Bacardi or Havana.
Bacardi, Havana?
Yeah, it's like two brands.
Okay.
Either one is usually what I drink. Are you old enough to drink, Axel?
Not in the States. Yeah. In the States, I'm not.
It's a bit more chill here.
I wish we would take notes from that. We should definitely change our age. We have problems. So.
Not that I drink, but yeah, I'm allowed. Don't worry. Honestly, something that I try to drink as much as possible here. Up for sure. That's my pick.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Very good.
That's not a big thing where I'm from.
No, that's
not at all.
That's something they
do. Sparkling water. Like nobody drinks that.
No, not in Denver either.
It's so popular here.
Yeah.
That's something that needs to be like cut off. Whenever you go and play in an away gym and they give you sparkling water when you're playing, I want to like find whoever did that and shoot them.
Yeah, that's
like, yeah,
because it's like, to me, it's crazy.
I don't like it either.
It's like insanity. Like you're exercising and you're drinking like bubbly water. So just like your stomach feels like all over the place.
Yeah, that's something I don't understand either, because we don't do that at all in Denmark. At least not from what I've seen. Sparkling water is not a big thing. I don't understand people that just drink it every day as their go-to drink.
It's Germans crazy. Are special sometimes. No, I don't like it either, but
it's just interesting to me.
But you can have the best tap water here in Lüneburg.
That's true.
So do you don't have any other suggestions for your favorite drinks?
No, I'll say that's one thing Germany does very well. Up for sure. That's
we'll take it.
I don't think we have that in Denmark, actually.
We don't want to pressure you into anything.
Maybe some places, but not in Copenhagen, at least. We don't have Apfelschorle.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
That's a wild place. No Apfelschorle.
Is that the first time you've had that on the podcast? Someone say Apfelschorle?
Yeah, I haven't been here for that long, but it has been the first time.
What's been the most obscure one? Bratz?
Oh.
Or do people usually
the times
say?
I've been here, it's the Bratwurst from Gage.
Yeah.
I don't know about Wolfgang.
So you just gave him a package of Bratz.
Normally brought it to him at the autograph session. He was happy.
Yeah, for
in
sure.
In the first episodes, the normal was different types of beer.
Yeah.
Because if you come from abroad, you want to get to know which kind of beer or
Hefeweizen.
Some people want dark beer or something else. And after it, then I think Stefan began to ask for much more expensive, what was it, whiskey or something else. And we was just thinking about, it's maybe too hard for us to buy it, too expensive.
I appreciate you guys offering. You do not have to get us anything. I appreciate just being on and being able to chat, so it's no big deal.
No, it's just a difference between...
Courtesy from us.
You were just looking for it was whiskey or bourbon? It was.
The bourbon for Michael. Okay. Yeah.
It was a little bit expensive.
It was.
What was the bourbon?
It was like, I don't know what it's called, but it was like
Welchen?
6 euros for a bottle.
Oh my God, that's so Michael.
it is Vegas Mike. So.
Yeah, it is Vegas Mike.
The best of Vegas Mike.
If you guys watch when he plays, watch out for that Apple Watch. He's got to get a new one. He talks and texts while he plays.
He does?
I don't actually know, but I wouldn't put it past him.
The rumors say yes.
We've all noticed it by now.
Anytime he goes like sometimes this, he does. He's definitely
asking AI where to sit.
Yeah. Well, you should get that checked.
I have played a bit of volleyball with my Apple Watch on, and it's just uncomfortable.
oh, I couldn't imagine it. I don't know how he does it. Yeah. Kudos to him, but I can't.
Yeah. We are making fun of him.
Like the pain he goes through.
Yeah, for sure.
We are making fun of him every time, so.
So I expected nothing else.
Björn, you have to explain the rules.
I have to explain the rules. Yeah, sure. There are no rules.
And guiding through the game, I would say.
We play the game.
It's called. I would call it either or.
Okay.
Like you pick either this or that, mm-hmm. and I say I read it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You say what Axel is more likely to do.
Okay.
And the other way around. Fantastic. And then we.
Let's
see if you're correct about the other one.
Fantastic.
So if you like, would you either make an ace or a monster block?
Ace for Axel.
Ace for Axel.
Block for Blake. He's a middle blocker. Then.
That's an easy
one. So what he does? He's float serving. He's not gonna make an ace.
That's true.
anything can happen.
That's true.
The next one. Go. So we both right. About the other
one. I think you would say ace,
yeah. Ace for sure.
And you go with the block.
Yeah.
Easy question.
Easy one, yeah. That one goes good with the game yesterday. Like either a 3-2 win after a tough battle or a dominant 3-0.
I mean, I think it depends on the opponent.
For Axel, you have
For Axel, that's right. Oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 20.
His knees apparently are hurting, so I would say 3-0 win, because that's usually like an hour and a half, and then he's done. So I would say that one.
I would say for Blake, I mean, it's kind of the same. He's old.
He's old, yeah.
He can't play for that long.
Yeah.
But no, I would.
Not wrong.
Yeah, I would say Blake wants to get a 3-0 win. It's less time. You get the 3 points, of course.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah,
obviously, like the five setters are awesome, but and obviously versus a team, you know, of that caliber or you know the highest level that you can play, it's like the battles are always way more fun to play and way more fun to watch. But if you're talking about like a daily, just any game, definitely 3-0.
Go with a quick one. I mean, I played too many five setters last season. I think out of the 18 games we played in regular season, we had 11 five setters.
That's crazy.
That's a lot.
So yeah. I'm tired of them at this point. I don't want any more five setters.
I'd say it was the other way around here in Bundesliga. Like there were a lot of 3-0s, 3-1s.
Yeah,
not many five setters.
Yeah, I think that's also due just to the discrepancy between like the top half and the second half.
Yeah. I think the skill gap from top to bottom is not as big as in the Danish league. Anything can happen, really.
So it's like a lot more. Close.
Yeah, together. It's a lot more close, and you know, there's a higher chance a team has a bad day because no one really plays at a pro level.
Most people have a day job. I think it's the same in Poland, like Kajetan told us. Like they're a lot closer together, skill wise, in Poland.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the same about France. Like I think the biggest tell of that is just team budget. If you look at like from top to bottom in terms of like the league, it's like the
closer. In Germany, it's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, like right. So like if you look at France, I don't know the numbers, but I think more of the teams are within a certain range of each other versus like there's a bigger discrepancy in Germany from like the very top to like the next three or four and then even another the next six, you know, there's like
a significant
drop off between each level, you know. So I think when you get leagues that are more adequately or evenly funded across the board, you're going to have games that are five setters.
Yeah.
So we know the goal for the next Berlin game, the
3-0. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we have to do if we want to stay out of that golden set.
Yeah, yesterday, like on the side, we were already theory crafting how you would have to play to just straight up go on and avoid the golden set.
We at least need two sets. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd all prefer a 3-1. Like
for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Don't have that final set deciding everything. I would say that puts a lot of pressure on you guys.
For sure, 100%. Yeah. Definitely makes it quite interesting for everybody else. But no, I mean, anytime you have the option, I think most people are going to pick, unless you know the outcome for sure is going to win in your favor, most people are going to always say the shorter, quicker.
Yeah, I mean, like a golden set is just, you play 10 sets before and they're all out the window. comes down to this one set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's like
a lot of variables for sure.
We weren't sure about the last set yesterday.
Yeah, we weren't either. I mean,
it's like just standing on the side and just like, can it be over?
Yeah, I mean, you see games like that. It's like it comes down to deuce 15-15. It's like, okay, like serving and the break points are such a huge thing at that point, because it's like one mistake, one miss, it's like puts so much more pressure on the next point. So
match ball,
like,
after match ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to one of the fans from Berlin and she asked if we're going to 15-48 now again.
Mm-hmm.
Like that happened a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, but
I've heard. I was there.
You were there.
It was really good. At the beginning, we were always standing up for the last service, but after a while, we didn't. it was too great. No, we didn't.
Like
we
played two sets in one set.
Yeah,
I mean that's what we did yesterday. Played five full sets, normal sets.
Yeah,
but I think as Blake said, with serving, I've never seen a team serve that well under pressure as the guys on court from our Lüneburg did yesterday.
Yeah, that was very good.
Simon Sander putting pressure on every single service. In that situation, is crazy.
Yeah,
that's something you don't see often.
And I think that is that you have to do. That's the only thing can win, I would say.
Yeah, you got to. I mean,
you have to go a risk.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that when you're in situations like that, it's like you can't just you know. Put it in, you got to go for it a little bit here and there depending on the situation. So yeah, you like kind of live and die by it per se. You give them a free ball, they're gonna run it down. So it's like, okay, do I take the risk and serve and miss, or do I give them a free ball and they kill anyway? You know, it's like it's definitely a part of the strategy.
So I mean, having Matt Knigge and Tobias Krieg on the other side was hard. Like if you overpass this much, they're gonna kill it.
Yeah,
that was I was always like when they did it.
Yeah
So you both prefer the fast one
for sure.
Oh yeah,
definitely. Yeah, me too, especially on a weekday. That was a lot yesterday.
Also just travels, we're going to hashing soon.
Yeah, if it's an away game, oh my god. Please.
We're playing 10 hours away.
Yeah, if it's a 10-hour bus ride or an 8-hour bus ride, so like, please be done in 3. Yeah, so that definitely also plays a factor for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. The next one I'd say is a little bit tougher. Would you rather have a season without injuries and a title? No, the other way around. Would you rather have a season without injuries, no title? Or a season with injuries but a title, like across the team?
I know my answer for sure, but for you,
so not for me, for him personally, like he would be injured, but anyone, we would win, or just the whole team has injuries and or what?
Anyone on the team.
I'm gonna say, because I think he should be the same boat, I'm gonna say he's injured and we still won a title.
Yeah,
because I was injured in the beginning of the season, like rolled my ankle, took me out for the first couple weeks, then got absolutely blown in the face by Cole on a back row attack, and I'm pretty sure I had a concussion, but the protocol here is a little bit suspect. So that was out for another couple, week or two, whatever. So I would say, even with that, I would much rather have that be the case for the whole season and the team win a championship. I mean, yeah, it sucks to be injured, but not every day you get to you say you won and were a part of the league. Obviously, everyone wants to play. That's why we're all here. We're all trying to fight and be competitive and add to the final product. But it's like Lundberg's never won a championship. I don't think they've even been to a final, correct?
Final in the DVV Cup.
I think they've been to a final in the Cup, but not the regular season. So to get to the final and win would be the first time. It's like for a club that's, if you look at it from a paper standpoint, probably shouldn't win a championship. For sure, pick the championship. I would say he would probably say championship.
Take the injuries into account.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I mean, I guess
self-sacrifice myself for the greater good of the team, I would do it. Yeah.
I mean, injuries are kind of part of it.
For sure.
No, a lot of them you can nothing really too serious prevent.
Though. Correct. Okay, obviously, looking, if it was like career ending, okay, maybe then I'd be a little selfish and say, all right, I don't want the championship and I'd like to have not my ACL blown out. I think he would pick the championship, yeah, but I could be wrong.
For sure. Yeah. A championship is a big thing. And I, especially in the role that for me I have on this team, being a part of the team that, you know, I can support. And we all try to make each other better also, not only ourselves, but being part of a team that wins a championship against, when you have teams like Berlin in the league, who's winning every year, basically, that would be...
Yeah. You go down in history, even if you're not playing. That's one of the best teams, if not the best team to ever play here. So that would be something worth taking an injury for, in my opinion.
Not just club history, but just league history in general. Yeah. Being a team that, you know, beats the almighty Berlin, that would be pretty
That's
big.
Something to brag about.
That is, yeah.
I mean, even this game would be something to brag about in my eyes.
Oh, yeah.
But not there yet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't take into account that you were injured a bit. It was nothing too serious, though.
No. I mean, I was out for... Well, it was actually last time we played Berlin in Berlin. I don't know what happened, but my knee just decided to give out. And
getting old.
Yeah, feels like it. I think I was out for 1.5-2 months. But no, now there's no pain. Feels a lot better. I mean, I had first my right knee, then my left knee. So it's a bit annoying, but it's a lot better now. And now I can actually play, so.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, at this point, none of us are winning.
That one. Ooh, I think this was the hardest question.
Yeah?
The last one. You just said.
Oh, yeah. The next one, yeah. Would you rather be a setter or a libero?
Well, Blake would be a setter. Because he was a setter in high school, so and right now we're trying to convert him. we're giving him 3 months to practice.
Oh, you tried it already.
We're training Blake to become a setter again, because Blake is talking a lot about that he could be a setter. So we're testing him. So Blake would be a setter also because he's not passing, so he would not be a libero.
He would take the libero just because he just already said that he likes passing. So that was an easy answer for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you've played setter before. I've played libero before.
Oh, you did?
I was small. I started growing 6 years ago. 6 years ago, I was 165. So I was a libero before also. So
I see.
If I had to choose a different position, not hitting or not opposite, I would use libero for sure.
I would love to see a game where you guys just all switch up positions.
I would too.
Blake as a setter, Axel as a libero, Blake as an Gage as an outside.
When season's over, I would love to go back in the gym if we can get access to like some time and play with the guys in all switch positions. I think that would be an absolute. Yeah,
we're trying to. What I want is Blake setting, Michael middle, that combo. I would love to see that.
I can imagine.
They are always running their mouth in the locker room about who can do the other one best.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of part of being in the team.
Absolutely.
Talking a bit of shit.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Gotta keep things light.
That's what keeps the fire going.
Mm-hmm. Anyone of you guys consider yourself the biggest shit talker?
Blake Gleason.
I would say, I don't know. I would say, yeah, for sure. Definitely call it me in practice. But I also do it from a standpoint, like I don't do it until I know that the guys that I'm doing it to are like, know that it's like not from a place of malice or like ill intent, I should say. Like I would, and maybe he disagrees. You can ask him, but I think most of the guys on the team know that it's all in good fun and that it's just like, it's just to get the best out of people, to push them and stuff like that. Yeah. And just to keep practice light sometimes when it gets a little dull or heavy.
Make sure no one takes it personal.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I don't think any of the guys are taking it personal. We all know it's coming from a good place. We all know it's just to push each other to make practice, games, whatever better. even if it's warm-up games, mm-hmm. always.
And then they do it back, which is the best part, because then it gets the whole group involved.
I mean, trash talk is, I would say, a big part of our practice. And Stefan loves it, as far as I know. He wants us to get a bit chippy and, you know, get on each other's nerves. Makes the level higher, more motivation.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we need one of those training sessions with a mic.
No, that would not be good.
I would love that. We've been talking about it. I would love to either a practice or a game.
Yeah, we talked about having
mic'd up practice.
One of you guys mic'd up at a game.
I would love to have Blake mic'd up.
I don't know if I would.
Or in the corner at a game.
That would be a lot of fun. But I'm not sure that would be the best for the group, but it would be a lot of fun. Definitely. I think you could mic up Gage. I don't know if you could mic up me, but yeah. Gage would probably be.
That would be great.
Gage in a game.
Yeah.
I think that would be amazing. He's
basically always on court.
Did you guys hear the audio of him yesterday in the game in the huddle?
No.
He dropped like 7 F-bombs in the matter of like 3 seconds.
And we weren't allowed to go on the whole side, yeah. So we didn't hear anything.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I know you guys have been playing.
I haven't watched it back.
Yeah, it's in one of the huddles. It's pretty funny.
Guess I need to watch it. Have you had a mic there?
They have that guy that comes in, like holds the mic underneath or like above the huddle, and he was just talking about what we should be doing with like our swing choice in certain situations, and he dropped a couple expletives like in a matter of like 10 seconds. He dropped like 4 or 5 F-bombs.
That's unusual.
No, I mean, yeah, but it's heat. I mean, it's heat of the moment. Like, obviously, like when for sure, when the stakes are that high, it's like, that's how people convey like their care. Sometimes, you know, everybody conveys it differently. And obviously, he cares a lot, as he should. You know, it's important to us.
Was it during the last set?
I think it was maybe the last set or maybe the fourth set. I don't remember. It was the fourth or fifth set for sure. And he just got super fired up. But I love that. It's like that's when the energy and the passion comes through. So makes what we do definitely more fun.
I think that might be the scary part about doing a mic'd up practice or game. There's a lot of
just having like a
lot of
beep
swear words
throughout the sessions.
It would have to be edited probably.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Depends on the player, but I mean, whoever it is, you're gonna hear Blake in the
silence.
Background yelling. So definitely cut a lot of it out.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go on. What do you have?
We have jump surf or jump surf with risk or safe float surf. What would you prefer?
Rather do.
I mean, jump serve.
My answer is probably easy.
His both. Is jump serve. Yeah. For mine, he's going to, I don't know what he would say, honestly.
I mean, we're kind of, I'm jump serving, he's floating.
Yeah.
So
I would rather jump serve, or I'd rather float serve with risk, but when you float serve, it's like you're supposed to put it in more so. So it's but at the same time, if you hit it right and you get it to move, you can still get some decent pace on it where it creates problems.
Yeah.
But the margin for error because you're hitting it flat is like smaller in my opinion. So it's like, I don't know. I've done both. I'm obviously jump serving is way more fun because you can hit it more power. But yeah, I mean, he'd definitely say jump. He rips the cover off the ball. He does a great job.
Trying to.
I think Chris said you were one of the fastest hitting on the team.
Yeah, I think we have Sanders the fastest. Then it's Oscar and then it's me. If we look at our top speeds.
So around 120?
Sanders at 126. Oscar has 124. And I have 122.
Oh, that's neater.
That is
I'm trying. I'm getting there.
I don't want to be on the other side. I did that with Christian and that hurt. But he does have a swing. You do not expect it from him. But Chris does have a strong serve.
We're seeing it. He's always doing down balls in practice.
Yeah.
It's great.
That does hurt when you're not used to it.
Oh, I would like it. I was goalkeeper in former times. So in handball.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, and this ball is a little bit harder than a volleyball. Yeah. Especially when you get it on your head.
For sure. Absolutely.
Well, volleyball to the face should hurt as just as much.
But that's for you to say, Mike. He's probably the one who's been hit the most in the face.
Yeah, this year's been brutal. It's just been unlucky, I think. I mean, sometimes like you'll go seasons or years without, you know, ever rolling an ankle or ever getting hit in the head. And just sometimes it's like you just get a strand of bad weeks. And this year has been my strand of bad weeks for sure. Yeah, I think on the team, I've probably gotten most hit in the head most of the season.
Yeah.
Cole once. Lawrence once. No, Cole twice, Lawrence once, and then but absolute bombs, because we stand so close to the goddamn 3-meter line that if you get hit, you're getting hit.
Take the whole front.
Yeah, that's probably the scariest thing about playing, in my opinion, is when you get set, when you stand that close and have a back row attack.
Yeah, it's pretty one of those hardcore pipe attacks.
Yeah,
those are.
Yeah,
I mean, Oscar's been getting a lot recently. Recently, it's been Oscar's been hit in the head a lot in passing, actually, mostly shanking a pass from Gage or whoever else is passing, then bouncing into Oscar's head.
Poor Oscar. So, you've got your favorite serves.
Yeah,
perfect. We have both. I like that one. Would you rather play against an invisible block or have an invisible setter?
Invisible setter. Wait, like the individual or the set is invisible?
The person.
Well, not the ball, hopefully.
The ball would be tough.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. Invisible setter or invisible block?
Yeah.
Whatever play against?
Yeah. The opposite block would be invisible.
Yeah, you have to say what I would play against.
I feel like the invisible block would be way harder.
No.
You don't know where you're swinging. You're going to still see the ball.
Yeah, but you're in middle. Half the time you just swing somewhere and then hopefully you don't get blocked.
Well, I disagree with that completely. But
if the other middle blocker is not committing, then there's no block. Then it's invisible. It's not there.
I honestly have no idea what he would say. I'm going to say the setter now. Based on that, I have no idea.
I mean, I would take an invisible block.
That's what I said. You said block first, and you're like, no.
Yeah, for you.
But I'm saying for you. I'd say the block for Axel. I'd say the block.
He can get that. I would say for Blake, he would, because he's in the middle, because he's arguing. He would take the setter, because he's just quick tempo. Just swing the ball. Hopefully he hits it.
Just gambling on it.
And it's Michael. He doesn't get when he's setting. You never know where he's taking it, actually. So,
not middle.
No.
Yeah, he likes to put it on the outside.
Yeah, he doesn't set middle.
He just straight up doesn't. Never.
And that's what we're saying in the corner.
Because he's always standing in the middle.
Yeah.
That's Michael. That's.
Yeah. You can't always have Joe Worsley.
Correct. You cannot.
So that Showmon game was brutal. Like, him with Lucas together. Like those split second serves.
Oh yeah,
they were brutal.
Yeah,
I mean that game was weird.
It was fun to watch.
They played perfectly in that game in the Chamon.
Yeah, they played incredible.
They played close to a perfect game. Not only in attacking but defense also. We couldn't win any points.
But you made it happen.
Yeah, we made it happen at home. Thank God.
Yeah,
but in the Chamon it was impossible.
I didn't get to watch that. Parts of it, because we had a company party.
I think we could all agree that's the best, some of the best playing we've seen from a team in a long time.
The home game,
the away game, they were at home.
Oh, their home
in
game.
Chamon.
Yeah,
that's the best we've seen a team play.
For me, at least. They came out with a vendetta, definitely on a mission for sure. Oh.
Out for revenge.
Yeah, no, 100%.
They got it. That's.
I mean, they were in a bad. I mean, that first game with us like put them in a bad spot. Obviously, they end up in third, and it's like on paper they probably should not have been in third. So
yeah. Yeah, I remember how I'd say pissed Joe was after the game. Yeah. He was not in a good mood.
Yeah. for sure.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Because he did what he could.
Yeah. Sports.
It happens, yeah.
It happens. So, and it happens that we are at the end of the podcast, I would say.
Yeah.
I have to say thank you for Blake. Thank you for Axel for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having both of us. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
It was a
great time. It's a pleasure.
It was nice. Nice to hear you, to get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah.
Thank you for our visitors here. Thank you for the audience. Audience. Yeah. Thanks.
Totally fine.
And our last words, as every time in the podcast, is
Butter
bei die Hühnen.
Zu zweit ist das ganz komisch.
Und we say ciao. Tschüss.
Ciao. Wir sind die SVG aus Lüneburg. Ob groß, ob klein, ob jung oder alt, wir ziehen das Ding hier zusammen durch. Wir sind die SVG aus Lüneburg. Und ganz egal, wer uns gegenübersteht, unser Block hält Stand ohne